Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Council elections this morning. Matt Kelly is in from Ward 3 to talk about the issues and talk about how the campaign has gone. Matt, good to have you in this morning.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
What is campaigning like these days? Because I have heard from General Assembly candidates that people don't answer the door like they used to.
I started going door to door in July and pretty much been going ever since. The city's had such a turnover that, one, people are not really, looks like, totally in tune with what's going on. We have the issue of, we used to have a robust freelance star where people and the news was out there on a regular basis and what was going on. And that is not to take away from the Free Press, the Advance, and you all, but it's not as robust in coverage of specifically city issues, because now the focus is more regional issues.
And there's just fewer people covering.
And there's few people covering it. And so it's really an issue of trying to get the message out. I've had some very good conversations with a number of people in that period of time. You know, most of the concerns are growth-related, the view that the city's growing way too fast and there's no sense of where we're going with it. And, you know, data centers being a big, you know, part of that discussion. Yeah. And the other point that comes out probably number two is council listening to the public? And that, you know, we, as you know, from Informed Fredericksburg, we pound on that a lot. But that is an issue that's out there and saying, you know, where are we going? Why are we doing this? And, you know, how do we get heard if we've got concerns about it? And that seems to be the two driving issues. They are the driving issues for me. I think we've reached a tipping point in that. For most of the city's history, and I have the city's comp plans from 1970 when we first adopted a comp plan.
Oh, wow.
And on through. And, you know, we've always tried to keep the focus on, you know, we are going to continue to grow. We all understand that. But we need to make sure we grow in such a way that we maintain the city's character and what makes us unique, the history of the city, and things of that nature. Because we've always acknowledged that if you look at Stafford and Spotsylvania, they're growing. They're really growing. If you go on Friends of Matt Kelly, and I posted it yesterday, I posted a map showing Stafford, Spotsylvania, and the city with their comp plans on the map. So you can see what the future growth is of both all three jurisdictions. And we're Little Fredericksburg sitting in the sea of planned residential development in Stafford and Spotsylvania County. So when you hear the current council and their chosen successors that they've put up to run talking about, you know, we need more density, we need smaller homes, we need to do this, we need to do that, you're kind of looking at this map going, why are we trying to basically turn ourselves into this big blob of residential development? Why aren't we trying to keep to maintaining the character of the city? And I think that's probably one of the key issues, you know, going forward in this election is, what is your view of the future of the city? And I think, in my perspective, maintaining that character of the city really has two goals in it. One, we have a huge mix of older housing that can be affordable in the grand scheme of where we are looking at in the region and costs. Yet we're losing it on a regular basis. It's being torn down, replaced by. And staff has done reports, the city staff has done reports to the Planning Commission and said, hey, we've gone back and looked at infill development and demolition projects within the city. And in each case, what is built is twice as big and three or four times more expensive than what it was replacing. So the current course is we're gentrifying the city. We're actually, what we're doing now is making it more expensive. We just did the project on Fall Hill Avenue. And what was the question? One of the questions that's always asked, what is the price point? Oh, market-driven. If it's market-driven, then you're not talking affordable.
Yeah.
And so we should be doing things to protect that diversity of housing stock, not only from a character perspective, but from an affordability perspective. But we're not. For some reason, we've got this idea in our heads that we need to be the hub of the region. We're 10.4 square miles. The intensity of development around us is significantly higher around us than in the middle. And then if you want to talk about being a hub of the region, why don't we talk about being a hub for tourism, a hub for employment, a hub for entertainment? Why do we want to be a hub for housing? And, you know, part of that is this, which I've never understood, this looking at Fredericksburg in a fishbowl. Affordability should not be defined, if that's an issue, by political boundaries. It's how close are you to services? Usually 15 to 20 minutes is the golden rule. If you look at 15, 20 minutes to services, you're looking at North Stafford. North Spotsylvania and South Stafford. And you look at the developments going in there. So the affordability discussion needs to be more regional in scope. Two, the city being as small as we are, you know, we're never going to solve the affordability issue. We're too small. But for people living in the city and working in the city, we have apartments, we have townhomes, we have smaller homes, we have mid-sized homes, we have large homes. We have a great diversity. And we should be protecting that instead of, as of right now, tearing it down and replacing it with much more expensive housing.
And that's alarming, just in that everybody's talking about affordable housing. If you're, you know, tearing things down and, you know, market driven, you're doing the opposite of what a lot of politicians talk about.
Well, what's another factor to look at is during the first housing crisis, going back to the 2008, 9, and 10 timeframe, there was a regional affordability plan done, which listed a number of things that could be done to deal with the affordability issue: tax rebates, reduction in fees, some changing in zoning, even ADUs, you know, were brought up in the mm-hmm. course of conversation. So starting in about 2010, we laid out what we need to do to deal with the affordability issue regionally and also could be locally. And then we revised it in 2020 and pretty much kept all the recommendations from the original one. And then here we are, 2025, and we're still talking about it. We have pretty much a blueprint of how to deal with affordability as much as we possibly can to this or our size, yet we've not taken the steps to engage in it. I serve on the HFFI board, Historic Fredericksburg Foundation, Inc. And one of the things we're trying to do now is we see a link between preservation and affordability. So we're trying to work with Central Virginia Housing Coalition, where we can look at, instead of just the historic district, let's look at housing 40 years or older within the entire mm-hmm. city and go, how can we take preservation funding opportunities and put them together with housing funding opportunities to basically rehab or help maintain this housing stock? And, you know, those discussions are ongoing, and I think the city can play a role in that by making some changes in the tax code and such to allow things like that to happen. And ADUs, which has always been a discussion in this city, if the vote had been ADUs based on property owner living on the site, SUP, special use permit, it would have passed, because the big issues were aging in place and helping out with a mortgage payment by having somebody live in the house while you're doing it.
Right.
Boom, would have been taken care of. The SUP, or special use permit, was because we have areas in the city that does not have off-street parking. And when you start putting four or five people in and adding into a neighborhood,
where do they park? There's
infrastructure issues that you have to deal with, and you need to deal with that. That seems to be lost in this current conversation of which, you know, my opponent, while serving on a planning commission, basically went along with, well, instead of an R4 meeting, four houses per acre, you know, a house of only 400 square feet or 600 square feet should only count as half a house or a quarter of a house. And all of a sudden, we're looking at this massive amount of density increase in the city, yet nobody ever talked about the impact on infrastructure. Mm. And, you know, you need to have those kind of conversations. So this idea that currently permeates from City Hall of we got to build everywhere as high as we can, as big as we can, and as many as we can, without having a conversation on what the city can support, is frankly irresponsible.
Matt Kelly here. He's the council, a city council candidate for Ward 3 in Fredericksburg. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Matt Kelly, and he's a city council candidate in Fredericksburg, Ward 3 on Election Day. Matt Kelly is here this morning. As we talk about, you know, changing, what do you want Fredericksburg to look like? And boy, I mean, you do see. I mean, all you have to do is come in the city around Amelia Street and in that area and down William Street and see how that area has changed. Where just past the cemetery where the Freelance Star used to be, and just everything, and wherever you go in Fredericksburg, whether it's new neighborhoods or new building going on, there is a lot of changes, and this is a big issue.
It's a huge issue, and let me put in another aspect of it that we don't talk about. Serving on FAMPO, we would get updates from VDOT, FAMPO, Fredericksburg Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is the regional transportation planning organization, and VDOT a few years ago made a presentation to us about William Street, and they're basically saying you're going to see significant traffic backups on William Street and downtown, not because people coming downtown, but people trying to get into all the new development that's going to go in South Stafford. And the impact that we're going to have with the intensive development going on around us. And again, we don't talk about that. What interested me, going back and looking at the 1970 comprehensive plan, one of the things the city did is we need to not look only at the city. We need to look about 3 to 5 miles out and what's going on around us. Now, we cover it pro forma in our current comp plan. Hey, guess what? The counties are developing fast. That's basically all it says. But they really did, in the early days, start taking a look at, you know, what are the impacts of that development around us?
Huh.
And the key point some of us make is, why are we trying to be like that? I mean, what we see in Stafford and Spotsylvania going on right now, let's be honest with you, it goes from Maine to Florida.
Yeah.
Why are we trying to become that? I mean, when you hear some of the current council members talk about we need to be like Minneapolis, we need to be like Alexandria, we need to be like all these other localities because they're, you know, they have density and they're big and that becomes affordable as soon as we have all this housing, it'll all become affordable for our friends. No, it's not. The housing market in this area is such that land values and other factors come into play that it's very difficult to build affordability. Where you get affordability in Northern Virginia and some of these other areas is basically the volume creates a situation for the developer where he can, I'll put 10%, or it's in Arlington County, I'll put 10% aside to define it as, quote, affordable. That's a whole conversation on itself, what is affordable. And then the rest I can charge what I want. When you're in the city and the scope and size of the projects, which we see as huge in the general scheme of things, are relatively small, you can't make those numbers work. So how are we going to deal with the affordability issue? We're going to have to deal with it, and we're going to have a community conversation about it, about tax breaks, tax abatements, because, again, I fully understand a person should be allowed a lot of flexibility in what they want on their property with regards to housing. So we also need to keep in mind the goals of keeping affordability in the city, but at the same time, we need to be able to give options to property owners through tax abatement and incentives or whatever else like that to maintain their property so it remains affordable or there's an affordable component to it. That's what our role is, but that means community investment, which means a very good community conversation, which are currently lacking in the city.
I was just going to ask you, when do we see some of those community conversations? Because we haven't seen a lot of them.
Currently, we're not going to see them. You know, you go back to early January 2024 on the density issue, what did people ask? People did not come out and speak necessarily against this change in density computations. They said, hey, we've got a lot of questions. And to Dr. Duffy's credit, he asked the question, why are we voting on this tonight? Can't we put this off and answer these questions. So he asked that question to Chuck Johnson, the planning director. And this was the turning point for me, was Chuck Johnson's response. This is the same meeting where council members were texting each other, smile through the BS, I can't wait to vote for this, which is an attitude that they've never apologized for. In fact, if you remember that same evening, the mayor lectured everybody, you know we were doing all this. I don't understand why you're coming and talking to us now. We've told you we're going to do this all the time, which is BS too. But what Chuck Johnson's answer was, we have projects in the pipeline. Didn't explain what the projects were. Yeah. We're making these changes so that instead of coming forward and being able to discuss it, whether we want it as a community or not, it was, we're going to basically clear the field of all obstacles for these projects to slide in to minimize community discussion on those projects. And they've done a very good job. You look at Mary's Landing, and basically the council just bailed out of that one completely. Yeah. And when people went to the council and said, hey, we need you to explain to us, or we need you to help us understand this project, what was the answer? In an email from the mayor to a number of individuals on behalf of the council, go talk to the developer. It's not our problem. You can't do that.
Well, and we're starting to see that work is starting over at Mary's Landing.
And what made Mary's Landing, it's a very technical issues there, but let me condense the whole thing into one action that was taken. We kept on being told that we have to give it to them because they had 1891 lots, and they were dramatically changed. They were made smaller, and they shifted them around, which should have caused some issues, which the city just blew past. It came down to a special exception vote because the lots are too small. They didn't meet the minimum standard for city lots.
Yeah.
You don't grant a special exception unless it is a significant project for the total benefit of the city that we just could not consider and we need to make an exception for it. We can grant it or we don't. We don't even have to give an excuse. We can just say no. But we gave it to them. A project that staff to address community concerns, potentially reduce the density from 12 to 8, and said, hey, if anything comes bigger than that, you'll get a public hearing, we'll be able to control it. It went from approved R16. So basically, the community was totally misled. The plans that the city said they were following were not. And nobody in City Hall has a problem with this. And that's just amazing. When you're elected, you know, my philosophy has always been that on any issue, you've got to sit down and talk to everybody on both sides of the issue. Let them, because one of the things that I've always found interesting is even when talking to people who don't agree with me, they will bring up points that I didn't consider.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's great about going out and engaging people. And you kind of go, wow, I didn't think about that. How can we address that? So you have that conversation, you answer all the questions, you address all the concerns, you explain what your vote is, and then as people leave the room, not everybody's going to be happy, but at least they felt that they were heard, their questions were answered, concerns addressed as best we could, and that way is how you build community consensus. That's not happening. When the city council had their last retreat, I think it was mentioned in there, they were talking about more, not community outreach in the sense of getting more information from the public. It was, we need to do a better job explaining to the public what we're doing so they understand why we're doing it. Wait a minute. Why not let the public who you're supposed to be serving have an input into that and engage and answer questions and address concerns, not just say, we're doing this because. And that's pretty much the attitude that the current council has. And it's not a good one to have. You're not going to get consensus.
And Matt, that is one thing you have done as far as listening to people and over the years and making some adjustments,
but
if necessary.
You do. You need to listen to everybody and everything. Two examples, if we've got time before break.
Uh-huh.
One was, if you remember, the first parking deck we built and the first hotel downtown, which at the time we referred to as the Third Battle of Fredericksburg, because there was a lot of angst and back and forth throughout that process,
mm-hmm.
a lot of back and forth on it. And when the smoke cleared and the time came for a vote and they were approved, what did we have? We had an award-winning parking deck that won numerous awards for architecture and blending in. And the same thing with the boutique hotel. It was a model boutique hotel for the corporation that built it. And everybody kind of, again, not saying everybody was thrilled with the outcome, but through that screaming and yelling and jumping up and down and throwing in ideas, it changed the projects to what they became, which I think this community is relatively proud of. A more difficult one was during the protests, in the George Floyd protest. I went out of my way to meet with every single group that organized protests. In fact, I had beer and pretzels in my backyard with some of them to talk about it and brought somebody who disagreed with them in there. We had a good conversation there. I didn't agree with everything they wanted to achieve. I agreed with some of what they were talking about and understood what they were talking about. If you remember correctly, they said, "Hi, we're not getting our word out. Nobody's listening to us. We're being totally mischaracterized in the press."
And you got them on the show.
Yeah, and then so I contacted you and said, "Can you give them some airtime?" And I went to the Freelance Star and I said, "Hey, can you let them write an op-ed?" And they got permission to do that too, which they never wrote it, but they had that opportunity. When the PERF Commission came forward, the concept for it, I got calls saying, "Hey, we would like a member. We'd like to choose one of the members of that commission to review." And I thought, it makes sense. Everybody should be represented in any investigation or anything else that's done. Believe me, there's a lot of people out there who didn't like that, too. So I'm basically, in the course of this, ticking off people on both sides of this discussion. But I couldn't get the council to go along with that. Just said, listen, all they're asking for is one person to be part of that investigation. And that, for me, is they get buy-in. Mm-hmm. They feel that their side is going to be hurt. And we said no. And I, to this day, never understood why we turned that down, but we didn't. But again, you got to have everybody in the room that's being impacted. You've got to listen to them. You've got to address their concerns. And we're not doing that. We're basically telling everybody, we know it's best for the city. You've got to trust. As with data centers, you got to trust us to know what we're doing is right, because we're all environmentalists. So don't worry about it. We'll take care of that. No, you can't do it that way.
Speaking of data centers, we'll talk about that when we come back. Matt Kelly here. He's a council candidate in Ward 3 in the city. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 829.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a centennial broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Matt Kelly in this morning, a council candidate in the city of Fredericksburg, Ward 3 is Matt's race. You mentioned, Matt, data centers. That's a big issue. Your thoughts and data centers. I mean, a lot of it, I think we've gone down, a lot of it has been decided, but there still are things, I guess, still out there.
Well, most people, the biggest concern is how it was handled by the city. What's interesting is all the localities to our north, if you look at the press reports coming out of Northern Virginia, are basically saying, you know what, it's time for us to reevaluate how we handle data centers because of some of the impacts and such on them. You know, what happened in our situation is you had city council members 2x2 meeting starting in February of the previous year, meeting with data centers and touring data centers, meeting with officials, and then silence. And then what, November, December, oh my God, we've got to jump on data centers and we got to do it in a month and a half. And then had two public hearings, the public hearing with the Planning Commission, to which my opponent was chairman of at the time, was bombarded with questions which were not answered. The majority of the Planning Commission said, we don't have enough information on this, and voted against it. The person pushing the vote to go ahead and vote that evening was the chairman, my opponent, to get it over the finish line, and couldn't do it because there's too many questions here. We're not ready to do it. Then she jumps over to the city council. City council has its public hearing. Again, numerous questions, no answers, and then a vote. And what was really interesting is, so they vote late in the evening, and then by, what, 8:20 in the morning, the press release is out with the agreement with a firm to build a data center. The biggest issue to me was, when I was on council in 2018, we passed an ordinance for data centers. But it was supposed to be industrial parks, or if it was outside of industrial areas, and it would be smaller. And also, any water usage would require a special use permit. So it was very restrictive. So now we've gone well beyond that. But we did had no conversations with the public, because my point to my colleagues at the time was, if we're going down this road, we've got time to have some very good conversations with the public to explain water, electrical impacts, and things of that nature, so everybody understands what's going on before we do it. None of that ever happened. Again, getting back to, we don't communicate much right now. The city council does not communicate with the public. And If you look at the particular company that signed the contract with the city, and you go on their website and you look at it, it basically shows, let's take the water issue, for example. You can have what are called the current system that we're building, which requires a large amount of water. And the interesting part of this conversation to me has always been potable versus non-potable water.
Right.
Okay. The bottom line is, it's all coming from the same source.
Yeah.
And evaporation issues and everything else like that. And of course, another thing we didn't do is, we're not looking at the fact that Stafford is building a lot more than we are. Spotsylvania is building, King George is building, and we're all taking from the same water source. So what's the overall impact? Never had any of those conversations at any time. But the firm that they chose, who also had a member on our EDA, by the way, at the time, which is interesting, they've built what are called closed systems, which require a lot less water, but higher electrical usage. It's more of an air-cooled system. So there are other things to look at with regards to data centers that were never even discussed. They said, we're going to do it this way, and we went, oh, yes, well, whatever you want, we'll do it. Whatever you want, we'll do it. And that was basically the attitude the council had. And all the questions about where transmission lines going, what is going to be the impact on our electric bills, what are the impacts on the river, what are the impacts on our infrastructure, none of that was covered, because the constant answer was, you got to trust us, we know what we're doing. And that, for most people, is not acceptable. And the other aspect of it that has been kind of really interesting to me is, with Inform Fredericksburg, we got together with the Sierra Club. And to meet the criticism that the Sierra Club was holding one-sided discussions on data centers, we said, okay, hey, Sierra Club, will you work with Inform Fredericksburg, and we'll get people who are from the data center industry or support data centers so we can have a balanced panel. And we did that in response to criticism from local officials that they were being one-sided. And we had to agree. You know, if you're going to have a panel, make it everybody. We couldn't get anybody local to sit on the panel. All the people who complained about, they need to give a more, you know, show what's positive about data centers. Well, okay, come on the panel. Oh, no, I can't do that. To elected officials, to the mayor, to the attorney who represents data center industry in this area, all of them, Curry Roberts, nobody would go on the panels. And luckily, we had somebody who was pro-data center, said, hey, I've got some people out there. And you had Darren Shoemake, who basically designed one of the first data centers in Loudoun County. You had Marty Rappos, who is working on technology in the future, who I want to touch on really fast. And then Vargas, who is big in commercial development. And they came on the panels. And I'm going to give a shout out to Carl Braun, who helped us arrange those people. But I went up to Arlington to meet with Marty Rappos, because his company is designing technology for the future. And he basically says, in the next 5 to 10 years, the technology for data centers is going to drastically change. Chip technology, they're designing basically racks. So you can say, well, I want a data center that's only this big for my business. They can build it for you. Basically prefab, almost prefabricated data centers.
Yeah.
So the need in the next 5 to 10 years of these big, huge buildings is going to dramatically decrease. Because now, when you talk to some of these people who are pro-data centers, and you say, wait a minute, the technology is changing, you know, you're going to be able to hold more information in smaller areas. And it goes, oh, that just means we'll be able to double or triple the capacity of our existing structures. Okay, that's great. Then why do you need to build new ones?
Yeah.
And is the technology changing with regards to water usages and cooling? None of this has been discussed. None of it was part of the discussion, and they all needed to be part of the discussion. And we are just so focused, or the city council was so focused on the money. And here's the interesting thing about the money. Hanover County has data centers, and they were giving a presentation on housing. And what they said was, we're very concerned about this revenue stream and how long it's going to last, understanding that technology changes. So we've decided that all the money is going to be put into a separate fund, and we're only going to use it for one-time expenditures. We're not going to commit those funds to operational costs, because if there's a dip in the money, it could have potentially catastrophic effects on the budget.
Huge.
Yet we've got council members who talked about only two things. One, you got to trust us that we know what we're going to do, which I think they blew that one. And the other one was already talking about spending money. Oh, we're going to be able to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. One, we don't have the money. Two, we don't know how long the money's going to last. And all indications are that it's going to change dramatically by the time, I mean, we're still looking 5 to 7 years out. By the time this happens, things are going to be completely different. And none of that was discussed at any point or at any time. And of course, now, tomorrow night, they're going to be talking about the second data center project on the Hilton track. And it's going to be very interesting, you know, how they're going to handle that one. With all the questions that are still outstanding from the public and moving forward.
It is interesting, the technology changing, because we see it in everything. It just stands to reason. And because data centers are so far off, what happens if the technology changes by then?
You know, I'm sitting here looking at my phone, and, you know, 30 years ago, it had an entire room of computers, and now I've got it sitting here. I can pick it up and look at it and flip through it anytime I want. So, but again, we were so enamored. My wife keeps saying, you should never say we. It's not you. It's other people. The current council's thinking is we're backing up in a wall on some financial issues. I mean, building a new school like we did, and the amount of cost that's presenting to us, and we can have a conversation about that for a second if you want to. Going forward, that they need the money, and they're looking for this as a silver bullet, and it's not going to be a silver bullet. I mean, if it's built, there are now questions on how much revenue. And one of the questions we had was, you keep throwing these numbers out. What are these numbers based on? Now, also remember, we're giving you a significant tax break to the data center project, like half their business property tax. So how much are we really getting out of this? And another question was, do they need the tax breaks? And to build the project, no, they don't. They take the tax breaks because all the localities are offering them tax breaks.
Giving them to them, sure.
Giving it to them. And yet we're asking the public to pay for all the electrical infrastructure. I mean, that's a conversation we didn't have. And they didn't want to have it. They just wanted to get to the vote and get it out of the way.
Before we get out of here, we are going to talk about just transparency, because that has been something you have talked about, whether it was your time on council or now. But the city is dealing with whether it's schools, whether it's infrastructure. There are some big things on the table to be paid for.
Yeah,
and taxes in the future.
And listen, Fredericksburg is a great place and a great town. I mean, we raised a family here, my wife and I. We love it here, and we have no plans on ever leaving. But every community has challenges. And part of the problem with regards to ease into transparency is the city will not acknowledge the challenges. Every time in Informed Fredericksburg or other places that somebody brings up an issue, school costs, infrastructure costs, the wastewater treatment plant, you know, why are we paying significant amount more money than Spotsylvania County is, yet Spotsylvania County is getting an additional, 4.5 million gallons of capacity. We're only getting 1.5. Okay, what happened there? You know, why didn't we just, seeing how this has played out, why didn't we stick with Spotsylvania County and build one big facility instead of two separate facilities? Don't want to talk about that. You know, if for as far, you know, staff comes in and makes report, this is great. This is wonderful. We've gotten a lot of money from the state, and they've done a great job. And I've said that before. They did a great job in securing additional funding for that project. But that funding would be available for a combined project, and probably more money available for a combined project than for an individual project. And all we're doing is increasing our capacity for the next 40 years, maybe. And then we're right back to where we are, potentially, on having to deal with issues with wastewater and water treatment in the future.
And in that, the wastewater treatment plant, if I remember, is that going to be one of the largest or the largest?
I think the largest project that we have done.
The city's has ever done.
And all we're doing is trying to. The interesting thing about it is, which was never asked, or well, we did ask, but didn't get a clear answer, is if you remember correctly, the original project came up to almost $200 million. And then we value engineered down to $169 or so. So what exactly did we value engineer out of the project?
Yeah.
Now, to be upfront, we did get from Informed Fredericksburg something from staff, which was multiple, you know, the classic, here's 340 pages, you know, figure it out. When all you needed to do is just give me a list. What exactly did you, you gotta look at all this. So that one they did a little bit of overkill on. But you do just put out, okay, we had a $200 million project. We got it to $169. This is what we had to take out of the project. So people understand. Because sometimes people will go, you know what? And we did this when I was involved in building the first two schools, was, hey, we valued engineer this. What'd you value engineer out? Well, maybe we want to keep this and pay the extra money to do it. I would rather pay money up front and have something that's going to last 50 years than pay something less and only last 20 years. And we did. We put things back in and shifted things around. But we didn't have that conversation with the new school or with the wastewater treatment plant.
Matt Kelly here, a candidate for City Council in Fredericksburg, Ward 3. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Matt Kelly here this morning, a council candidate in Ward 3 in the city. As we talk about data centers, you hear a lot. I mean, you hear people talk a lot about it a lot. Matt, are people as you go door to door and talk to people in the city talking about it?
Oh, that's probably one of the top topics next to growth in the city and where we're going with growth is that. I had an interesting conversation with a young person who actually participated in the now controversial endorsement issues in the city, and I've gotten to know her to where I can chit-chat. And I said, by the way, what do you think about data centers? And she goes, oh, they're terrible. They're awful. I can't understand why we'd want to do it and everything else like this. And I kind of looked at her and I said, then why did you just vote to endorse every candidate who supports the data center project? That's kind of strange, isn't it? She went, yeah, that is kind of strange, isn't it? Yeah, it is. So, you know, that's part of the problem of bringing partisanship into local elections, where people start focusing on letters by your name as opposed to issues. And I get asked, needless to say, are you Republican or Democrat? And I've pretty much gone and said either one of two things, which is one, go on my website, you can do ourburg.com and look at everything. I mean, everything's on there. Everything I've written, everything I voted on, what my views are, and what my proposals are. In fact, I think I'm the only candidate that actually has listed on their website by issue what I think we need to do. And tell me what party you think I am. Or give me two issues, and I'll give you my position on those issues, and you can determine what you think I am. Because I would rather you judge me on what I have done or what my beliefs are as opposed to just asking what party I'm in. And I think that's just a proper way of handling it. Just judge me on what I've done or what I am saying. Don't sit there and, because again, at local, this level of politics, partisanship should not even be a role. And it's sad that it has become a role. It will have an impact on it. But hey, we'll see.
We haven't heard the few months or month or so ago, the problem with in your race and also in Ward 1. Is there going to be any kind of a ruling on that, or does everybody stay on the ballot?
What's interesting to me, and not wanting to get too much into it, but one, my position is, and I've stated this, I would prefer everybody, both parties, stay out of the election so that everybody who filed to run can run. And I've asked every candidate to endorse that position, and thus far I haven't heard about it. But what's interesting to me is a lot of stuff is being written both in op-eds in the Advance and party newsletters saying, they said this, the Fed said this, the Fed said this, the Fed said this. Right now, there has been nothing in writing from anybody with regards to the Hatch Act rulings, which would fall under the Office of Special Counsel. The Office of Special Counsel has not put out any written position on anything regarding this race up to this point. So if you read something or you see somebody saying the Office of Special Counsel said this or said that, they need to post it, the actual paperwork or verbiage of what was said, because at this point, I talk to Mr. Gant at least once a week just to see how he's going and everything else like that, and he said, I'm still waiting. Now, they have gotten an indication that they can file to have the city exempted and put the paperwork in, which would allow them to run, and I think that's part of what's going on right now. But at this point, contrary to what you may be reading in different okay. periodicals, there has been nothing in writing on the Hatch Act issue.
Which is unfortunate that we again are dealing with that in the city, but be that as it may. One other quick thing, you've been a big proponent of getting a fire station in Fredericksburg. It's set to be built. And
well, they're still... I get together with... recently, I had dinner at the fire stations and chatted with everybody. And what's interesting to me is the city hall will say that we're fully staffed. And yet, we have fire personnel that have put in over 1,000 hours of overtime. So we got to use overtime to keep ourselves staffed. I find it interesting that we can hire a new assistant city manager, yet we've got a police cruiser now running around wrapped with recruiting on the side of the police cruiser. There is a bit of a question on what our priorities are and what they should be. And the issue with the fire station is we may build a fire station, but the question now is, are we going to man it, or are we just going to shift the existing personnel around and the existing equipment? Because fire trucks aren't cheap.
You've been right.
And to man a fire station will require at least 16 additional fire personnel, and we're nowhere close to meeting that number. And again, these are legitimate questions that we should be discussing as a community, because you need to know these things to be able to plan out budgets. Same thing with environmental issues. Environmentalism failed in the city because we didn't, one, come up with an action plan and identify the funding sources to complete it so people can see how it is progressing. We just, what ended up happening is people would start, we've said, hey, we'll be fossil free by, 2050. And then nothing would happen. And then people would start complaining. And then we would throw three electric cruisers into the budget for the police department. There's no definitive plan and financing for implementing that plan in place. And that's what you need to have. You need to understand what's coming forward, what it's going to cost, and say, these are going to be our priorities, and this is what we're going to fund. We just basically go year to year and go, oh, we don't have enough money for that, so we'll just push that off. I've asked for the department budgets over and over again, and which the city manager refuses to release. And what you will read in those things a lot of times is asking for stuff that has been deferred.
Yeah.
And we're reaching a point where we can't defer this stuff anymore. But again, it's a discussion we need to have and are not having.
Matt Kelly, Ward 3 in the city. Get to know your candidates in Ward 3 and all the candidate
and
races.
And go on my Facebook page, which is Friends of Matt Kelly, and go to Auerburg. OURBURG.com, and you can read and see anything you want to know about me, and be happy to answer any questions from the public.
Thanks, Matt. Good luck.
Thank you.
That's it. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.